Hello, my friend. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood, and I'd like to welcome you to our... We hope you enjoy the praise and worship and are encouraged and challenged by his words and the message to follow. Please send us an email and let us know how you've been blessed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. And now let's join the service already in progress.
We want you to feel welcome. This church is a place you can call home, where you can grab a cup of coffee and meet new friends. Today, we're going to sing together, not because we want to be entertained, but because we want to give glory to God. Today, we're going to learn together, because we believe God still speaks through the Bible. No matter where you are on your journey, no matter what's in your past, at this church, you are accepted. You're cared about, and you are loved. Thanks for sharing your day with us. Welcome home.
Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning, and it's good to be back. Give me a little juice right here on the pulpit, honey. Testing 1, 2. That's good. Good to be back with you all. If you're our special guest today, immediately to your left through this doorway, you'll find a restroom to your left, a nursery in the back. Even though this morning we're doing our best to keep our kids out here with us during the service, unless one starts crying or something like that, because our nursery workers are also part of our mission team. And we got a special service this morning in which our mission team is going to participate in. And so if you have a child, the nursery's in the back. And if you need to take them back there, go through the doorway to your left. And very back of the hallway, you'll find a nursery. And we'd also like to give a special shout out to our friend Dr. Raja in India, as they're praying about our upcoming mission trip in October as we begin finalizing the plans for that. So we're excited and looking forward to that. And today we're celebrating our recent trip to Virginia, which we'll be hearing more about that in just a little bit. And without any further ado, Brother Chris, would you come and lead us in worship?
If you would, let's all get a hymnal and turn to page 359. Page 359. We do thank you for this opportunity we have to be back in your house. And God, we just want to thank you so much for Traveling Mercies over this past week, for the blessings that you've given us, for this opportunity to come back and be with our church family here. And God, as we come together, would just help us to block things out of our minds, that we could turn our focus upon you and just give honor for all that you're doing in our life. We ask, Father, that you would just remember those that have been put on our prayer list, those that are having medical issues, and those that are hurting. God, we just want to lift up our newfound friends that we've made back in Virginia and ask, God, that you just bless them and their efforts. And Father, as we go to you this morning, just help us to remember that it's within you we find our contentment and our satisfaction. God, it's not this world, but it's you that offers these things to us. And we just thank you and praise you and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Page 54. Ain't you glad that we've got a great God that can meet every one of our needs? And no matter what we're going through, where we're at, God's right there with us. And, you know, and I can't help but reflect upon this past week and the way so many times over and over that God worked things out, that God was in the midst. And every one of us made it back. Nobody got into a knockdown, drag out or anything of that nature. But you know what God did do? I feel that He strengthened the bond of those that went. As a church family, that's something I think we overlook sometimes, that we're in this together. But you know, ultimately, if we all look back to God, we all look to what He's done in each of our lives and how that makes each one of us stronger. And together, we're like an army. An army that's going out into a lost and dying world that we have been charged to go out to. Our God is so great, but yet so many times we try to sell Him short. So today, as we do this one, I know most of you know it, but I just want to thank Him for what He's done for us. And I just continue to pray that He'll work through us as we go out into this community and others that we come in contact with.
Yeah.
If you would, let's all take a moment and fellowship one with another, and be sure to say hello to any guests that you may see around you, and just make them feel at welcome. And if all of you would, let's all stand and have a moment of fellowship. This time, I think Terry's got one she's going to play for us, and then after that, we'll turn it over to Brother Mike.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll take those and look in 1 Peter. Hunter. Chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And as I say, it's good to be home this evening, this morning, and had a very, very busy last week and last couple of weeks. Actually, you know, week before last, we had a group in from North Carolina that came over last week and helped us do some door-to-door canvassing in the area. And we had some church members that came and went with them and during that visitation. And then by Friday night then, we had First Baptist Robertsdale that came in that were with you all in service last Sunday. How many of you were in service last Sunday? Raise your hand. Not from the mission team, from Zion Baptist Church. God bless you. I appreciate you being here and supporting the church and supporting Brother Jeff Copeland, and who brought a great message. I listened to it on the internet as I loaded it last night. And then we'll share a little bit about the trip last week, but we got to serve five churches while we were in Virginia, and one rehab, a nursing home facility for, and so a total of six facilities there, and then joining with two other the churches then that were back here. And so in the last 14 days, eight churches that we've had the privilege of working together, and nine, counting Zion, and what God has accomplished through all that. The mission team is going to share this morning, going to give them an opportunity to share what God did in their life this past week. But I just want to lay this foundation in 1 Peter chapter 4. As we are in the latter days, by the way, the dispensational time in which we are in the latter days, which means we are in the church age, and we are waiting the return of Jesus Christ, the physical return of Jesus Christ. Now, while we are waiting, we have been assigned, we have been given ministry, responsibility, a job to do, if you will. And that's to glorify our Heavenly Father. And we do that by many, many different means and different aspects. And he addressed this in chapter 4. And he encourages the readers to keep fervent in their love for God. And if you love God richly, you'll love your fellow man. In so much so that you'll become a living sacrifice, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. And so 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. If you found that, say amen. Let's stand together in honor of our Father's word, if you're physically able, and if not, God understands that. And so just keep your seat. Peter says, "The ends of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment. Be sober, be vigilant, wake up. Think spiritually instead of temporarily." Temporal. He goes on to say, "Let's be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." Verse 8, "And above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin." Fervent means to keep it on the front burner, to keep it in the forethought in your mind. And the type of love he speaks about is agape love. It's an unconditional love, which is a love, the derivatives of it means it's an action love. We know that the Bible says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He sent." It provoked him to action. Love without action is not love. Faith without works is what? Dead. So true love, if we truly love God, it's going to provoke us, it's going to move us to love. Love not only of God, but of our fellow man if we love God. You can't love your fellow man if you don't love God purely. Peter's encouraging the church here in this. He goes on, "For love covers a multitude of sin." That's what stops us from serving other people, is because we see their sin. We see their difference. But if we love God purely and we love the way that God loves, we'll overlook their sin, or we'll look it through their sin through the veil of God's love, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we'll be able to serve them. He goes on, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint." And verse 10 says, and this is the point in which I'm getting to, "As each one has received a special gift." By the way, if you're born again, if you are a Christian, you have received at least one special gift in which to employ in the service of God and serving others. There's no question about it. If you're not born again, you don't have a special gift. If you're born again, you have a special gift. And the special gift's foundation is the Holy Spirit residing inside of you. So church is not an entertainment center. It's not some place that we go to appease ourselves or our feelings or our emotions. Church is some place to come and to get energized and to get educated on what our gift is and then to employ that gift in service for others. That's what the Bible says. Each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God, His unmerited favor. That means what God has called us to do is to be about our Father's business. Is to be about actually rolling up our sleeves and going to work in serving others, in building His kingdom, in evangelism. That's what missions encompass. Missions is nothing more than tangibly expressing and showing the grace of God, the love of God, in a tangible way so that those who are blinded by the God of this world, who cannot see an invisible God, can see your visible works and know that there is a tangible and real God. That's a good place for an amen right there. That's why we're about doing these works, is so that people can see God. It's the only way that they'll see Him, is through you and I. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to see You. We thank You, Father, for being a part and being able and having the privilege to go on Your behalf as Your ambassadors. Father, we thank You for the privilege and being able to be an answered prayer to our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that are in Virginia, and as we even reached out into West Virginia with a disaster relief. And Father, we thank You that You gave us the honor and the privilege to be of a benefit and a blessing to our brothers in Alabama and those in North Carolina. And Father, we can see the manifold grace of God working through those who are surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ without any forethought of cost, without any forethought of lost time, but Father, only for the eternal purpose of answering the call in which You've given us, the challenge in which You've gave us in Your commandment. And God, we just thank You because You could have used anybody and anyone at any time, but You have chosen us at this particular place, at this particular time, to be Your ambassador. So Father, help us to think sober, help us to be vigilant, and to be about our Father's business. And God, we thank You for Your goodness, and may You bless the remainder of this service. And in Christ's name we pray. And they all said, amen. Thank you. Be seated. As you're there looking, for those of you who came in a little bit earlier, we've had a lot of pictures scrolling on there, somewhere around 350 or 60 pictures, and I really don't think that's all of them. But we had 23 people, a total of, 19 adults or so and 4 kids. Something along that lines that can do a whole lot better job than I can in sharing what the love of Christ looks like. And again, there's a few things that I'd have you to take notice. And first, we went to serve the Powell River Baptist Association, which is a rural country association much like the Pope County Baptist Association in which we live in, except it's a lot more poor. And it was decimated with the closing of the coal mines, and basically it don't have any tourism industry whatsoever. There's nothing to see there but a swinging bridge, and we saw it. And you saw some of the pictures of that. But they are still carrying out the purpose of what God has called them to do. You see, we went there not to work for them. We went there to come along beside them and help them and strengthen them and encourage them. And I'll let Moore speak to that in just a little bit. One of the first places that we were able to help was McConnell Chapel Baptist Church. And this is it, a small church up on the side of the mountain. The pastor went there. They were 8 people. They're about 26 now. But when I say the pastor is not of good health, that's an understatement, with heart problems and things of that nature. And the men were able to help them, and I'll let them share more about that. That's Brother Robert Sloan, the pastor. And y'all know who the monkey is there, the other monkey is there. And he was able to go and to share his testimony. And that Sunday night, they had one of the larger crowds that they'd had for a Sunday night. How many of you know that, you know, on Sunday nights you generally drop to about half of what your normal crowd is, or a little less. But they had many return because they knew someone was coming from Tennessee to share their testimony. And Brother Chris done a wonderful job there. Darbysville Baptist Church is another church that we served, another rural church on a dead-end road going to a coal mine. And used to be a coal mining community. Brother Ernie Bloodsoe is the pastor there. He is a respiratory therapist at a hospital about an hour away from there. and works second shift and sometimes carries on over into third. And then when we was there Sunday, he'd come home and had 45 minutes to get dressed and come to church. And was going back then, he was going to do about 48 hours without sleeping time. He went back to work then that evening. And what he does for, we would look at it and say nothing. But he does it because that's his home church. That's where he comes from. He loves it. But the most unique thing about Darbyville is it was a younger congregation. And I'll let some more they'll share about that as we go further. First Baptist Jonesville, we had an opportunity to serve with them, and that picture's a little distorted. That's the sanctuary there. But they were in Vacation Bible School, and they had one of the largest Vacation Bible Schools they'd ever had while we was there. And we'd went in, and we had canvassed the area before Vacation Bible School ever started, and I believe they went well over 200 total one night. And they were thrilled to death, and they needed the help while we were there and used the van. Every evening that we were there, and the pickup of kids and the taking of kids home. And it was very exciting to be a part of that and to make new friends there while we were there. And then First Baptist Pennington Gap, there'll be more sharing perhaps a little bit about that, but we were able to partner with him, and they feed the community and the hungry there in Pennington Gap every Tuesday. And I believe it was lunch, wasn't it lunch? Yeah. And so I don't know, a pretty good group of people was there with the clothing closet. And if you saw some of the pictures previously, you saw what was went on. And they probably had about 60 there. And when all said and done, that came for the meal then, that was donated by some of the local restaurants. And had an opportunity to share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ with them. And so we were very excited about that. And that's part of the feeding of the group. And then while we were there one day, we had a phone call there at the associational office, in which one of our ladies answered and passed it over to me. And it was the pastor of First Baptist Church, Rose Hill, which I don't know if I got a picture of them or not. I got a picture of what we did. And they were in the process of loading a semi-trailer truck with water and other supplies for the flooding in West Virginia that had happened. And so he just called, and senior pastor and called and was looking for some help, and just so happens we were there, and just so happens one of our backyard Bible clubs in Pennington Gap did not work out, and so the Lord provided an opportunity not only to be busy but to be a part of disaster relief in West Virginia. And so we were able to go up there then, and there were more pictures as you saw scrolling this morning about the work that was done there. And so we were very privileged in being able to help with that. And then there was the Lee Rehab Facility, which is a skilled nursing home. And we were able to go there. There was another church there that was out of, let me get this right, I want to say West Virginia. And they were there conducting an adult vacation Bible school, doing Bible classes and all. Had a great turnout they did for the Bible studies. And while they were doing that, then we were taking care of the refreshments. And so we were handing out snow cones and cotton candy, which it was a big hit with many of them. If you saw the pictures that were scrolling through there, you saw a lot of our little kids. They were outgoing, and they were going to room asking everybody in there, would they like some snow cone or cotton candy? One of the ladies said, she sat in her wheelchair. She said, you know, I don't know if I got her picture up here or not. Yeah. She said, you know what this reminds me of? She said, it reminds me of when I was a little child. And we would get to go to the carnival or to the circus, she said, once a year and have that cotton candy, which was so special. And we had an opportunity to share. But more importantly, it gave our young people an opportunity to serve. And matter of fact, most of the older people couldn't keep up with the little ones as they were going around and giving the candy and the snow cones in the name of Christ Jesus and to all the workers in which we were able to do and come along beside the team there. And also then made some interesting connections with a lot of the teams about the possibility of them coming here and doing missions here. So there's nothing ever lost by going on mission. Nothing ever goes undone in your home church or in your hometown. But what is gained is great gifts of work by Christ through the whole body of Christ and providing an opportunity for other people to come to be a... Tim's going to share a little bit of note here from First Baptist Rosedale when they left. And they left us a note of being a bed, a hotbed, if you will, of activity of God's love to be able to grow them. Now, you're not going to understand that if you've never participated in nothing like this, but there's something about missions, and the greatest thing about missions is this: it's being obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, He'll bless you, whether you can understand it or not. He'll bless you when you take time out and present your body as a living sacrifice. And so much so that even a child can do it. Even a child has a gift of lifting up someone's spirit, of being a help, of being a benefit to someone. And so I'm very grateful. And that's not to say that they might drive you a little crazy some other times like that. But, you know, the point of it is that if an 8-year-old can do it, you can too. You can too. And such a wonderful, wonderful time. And so I'm going to leave that picture up there. And I'm going to turn the remainder of the service over to the mission teams just to come and share what God did in their life and with you all. And so I want you to hear from them the activity of God and what He did that week. Now, if you come up here from the mission team.
Testing 1, 2.
If you come up here, I think you'd be good up here. You can see and everybody can see you up here. If you prefer to hold a microphone, hold it. If you prefer to talk out of this one, talk out of this. If you use this one, you're going to have to talk a little bit louder when you come and do that. But we want to get you and be sure to put you online. And then we'll finish up. Now, if you're on the mission team, won't you stand right now? Y'all come down front. Come on down front and fill up these first 2 or 3 pews right down here if you would. And that way there won't be any lapse in time. Yeah, come on, keep coming.
You can't go first.
All right. Now, as soon as somebody is finished, when they're walking down the steps, somebody else will be walking up the steps. And we're going to get everybody, so don't worry. If 2 people start walking at the same time, just sit back down. And we'll just continue to go right through it. And so, Miss Renee.
Yep, it was a fun experience. It's kind of like riding a horse. You can read about it, see videos about it, but until you get on, you never know the full experience. So I would strongly encourage everyone to make plans for next year. Zion participants that went on the trip got a full experience of what the Hazelwoods were about, and we really got to know Zion members, and that was a wonderful blessing. And it is truly neat just to see God at work in our individual lives as well as the lives that we touched, and the unique friendships that we made amongst ourselves as well as those we encountered on the trip. And I did it without crying.
Well, you know the expression, you don't know somebody till you live with them. Well, that's an understatement. Because, for instance, I learned that Miss Teresa sleeps in wool socks, and I sleep with the fan on high. So we learned that we're not going to sleep by each other anymore. I learned that most of the grown men on the trip will spike basketball on a little girl and not feel bad about it.
Amen.
But really, I learned that, you know, you don't have to do some big grand gesture to serve somebody. One night at VBS, I mean, everybody was with the class or something, but I was kind of off by myself, and Mom brought me a baby to watch. And I watched a baby for about 2.5 hours. Well, me and Carly did. She helped a lot. But, I mean, I struggled. I put the diaper on backwards. I did just about everything wrong. And I thought, you know, I was carrying around this big old chunky baby. I thought, you know, I should be helping a class or helping with the bounce house or something. But at the end of the day, I found the grandmother and gave him back. And this grandmother was raising this baby. And she got to serve in a class while I was watching her baby. And she was just so grateful to me. She was just, thank you. You know, are you going to be here tomorrow? Do you want to take him for the rest of the day? I mean, she was so grateful. And it really, you know, touched me because I'm not good at a lot of stuff, but I can hold a baby. So, I mean, it encouraged me. And I encourage all of y'all. I mean, you'll get put to work if you go, and you'll enjoy every minute of it. And to say that we grew friendships is an understatement, too, because we're all family now. And I can't wait to know the rest of you just as well.
Well, it's good to be back home. I had quite an experience this week. I'm not able to do a lot of the physical work that the men did do. And I got involved with teaching the senior adult class in the VBS program at First Baptist Jonesville. But one of my greatest experiences was when we visited the nursing home. And I want to tell you, I met God head on. And He changed my life. I had an experience that I really can't explain to you, other than I feel so fulfilled. I really didn't do a lot of physical things, but I was able to shake hands. I was able to go into those rooms of the nursing home and ask them if they had any prayer concerns. And they did. And we prayed over them. It was such a wonderful feeling. I'd be remiss if I didn't say the fellowship that I experienced, that we all experienced in the van and in our living quarters, was absolutely wonderful. I got to know everybody a whole lot better, and I know they got to know me a whole lot better. They got to know my favorite saying when they asked me, "How are you?" I said, "I'm tickety-boo." And some of them asked me, "Well, what does tickety-boo mean?" And the best way I can describe that is it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. For goodness sakes, if you get an opportunity to go on a mission trip, you will be fulfilled with so much love. It is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Thank you.
Okay, I guess I need to hold it. I just want to say what a good opportunity it was to get to go on the trip for Carly and I. It was a blessing, a lot of the things that we were involved in while we were there. And one thing that stood out to me, the first on the Sunday when we were there that morning, we went to First Baptist in Darbyville, which was in St. Charles. And like he was saying, it was a small church. And I think that the group that we had there was probably about the size of their entire church. And to me, that just stood out what a great faith that they had there. You know, a lot of people would have given up, closed the doors by that point. But this church had a great faith, lots of things going on there. And like he was saying, a young generation church, so I see a future there. And then also, I enjoyed getting to see everybody minister, especially the children, like getting to see Carly, like that picture at the nursing home. They loved getting to go out, you know, give out the cotton candy, the snow cones. And, you know, no matter what age, there was a place for them to serve, helping carry the water, everything that went on. And I guess just getting to see her experience that was good for me to see and was a blessing. And I'm going to get through this without crying, because for some reason the last 2 nights I couldn't talk without crying while we were gone. And like everybody said, the fellowship was great, getting to know everybody, friendships. As someone I'm sure will tell, relationships. Somebody will tell that story before this is over, I'm sure. And it was just great. The van rides, where we stayed, the meals, everything that went on. Even, I say, we had a little bit of downtime. Like she was saying, the competitions of them playing basketball while we were at the swimming pool and the friendly competitions that we might have had the last night that we were there were very interesting. So I just highly recommend if anybody gets the opportunity to go next year. It was a great experience that I wouldn't take anything for.
I had a great time.
I really enjoyed the Bible school. I said, we have 28 kids in a class, and you're just run, trying to take care of them and the little ones. And see, even before we went out, we was canvassing the area, and he took us to a trailer park. And Carly would jump out, and she'd be the first one to the door and be knocking on it, wanting to talk to them and stuff. And we are just so blessed because those people were so poor. And it was most of them. I mean, you saw very few nice houses either. They were either old houses or trailers or something. And we are just so blessed to live where we are.
Well, I think my challenge is to see God, you know, in the places that we went. You know, you can see God hugging the toilet, believe it or not. You know, it takes humility to serve, you know, and to go into someone's house and work on their toilet, you know, and fix that, and that be a blessing to them. You know, God can show up anywhere. You know, He showed up, and I don't know the lady's name. I refer to her as the lady in room 109. And we had Carly and Emma and Teresa and I were canvassing in a home where the elderly lived. And, of course, it was a race to the door. You know, we got to get there first and knock on the door and give them a brochure and to invite them to our medical clinic. And so we had been to four or five different doors, and we were trying to tell them, say, no, slow down a little bit. Teresa and I can keep up with you. You know, we're not as young as you are, so we can get in a conversation with these people. You know, that's where you meet God. So we knock on the door of 109, and this lady comes to the door, kind of reluctantly opens the door, and we begin a conversation with her, give her the brochures, and tell her where we're from. And she said, now, where is it you're from? And I said, we're from Benton, Tennessee. And she said, I don't know where that is. I said, well, that's 3.5 hours away. And she said, you must be a Christian to come here 3.5 hours away to knock on my door and hand me a brochure to a medical clinic. So, you know, we stood there and talked to her a minute. And I asked her, I said, is there anything that... And she was telling us about her brother. He had just moved here from London, I think it was. And he had come from an abusive relationship. His caretaker had abused him and done some things to him that she was quite upset about. And she said, when you go back over to the church, will you tell them to pray for me? And I said, well, let's pray right now. You know, let's go to God right now, and we'll lift your brother up. You know, that's meeting God. You know, that's missions. You know, I have Colton and Michael, you know, in our RA class. You know, we sit in RAs and we talk about missions and we read about people who are doing missions. But they'll have a greater understanding of what missions is by going and knocking on doors and seeing leadership in the church minister to people, you know, where they're at. You know, and we listened to a sermon, I can't remember. We'd done so much, and they were talking about darkness in the world, you know, and how a Christian with just a small flicker in today's society can shine because of how much darkness is in the world. You know, it don't take a lot. Changing out a toilet, you know, crawling under a house. And Gary spent, I guess, 6 hours maybe under a trailer with a little hole about that big, you know, and he'd stick his head out once in a while. And, you know, working on somebody's plumbing that's not yours, it's not a lot of fun. But, you know, blessing someone and doing something for somebody who can't do it, you know, that's what God wants each one of us to do. And if you have an opportunity to go and take your kids, if you have a child and you're going to be able to go, I would say you need to take your kids with you. You know, they hear about missions and they see pictures of missions, and we have mission teams come in. But until you go and do, you know, the experience is it's unbelievable. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to get to go and spend time with these people. You know, that we become a lot closer and, you know, in our fellowship. And I did find out that a 50-something-year-old has a hard time keeping up with a 20-year-old in the water, you know, trying to play basketball. But I did hold on.
Tim said when I was writing all this down, he said, are you going to write a book? Read it? And I have to get my thoughts or I'll ramble, and I'm probably going to start rambling anyway. But I tried to think of every day. I thought, the Bible says, that you have to die to yourself daily. And no matter how tired I was or no matter how uncomfortable the bed was, I have to think that this is God's work. It's not about me. I had a song on my mind all week long, and you might know it. It's called "You're a Good, Good Father." And that song came to my mind almost every day. And everywhere I went, the song kept popping in my head. We saw how good God has been to us and how He's blessing us and how He was blessing the people in Virginia. We saw His hand in His blessing and how He provided a place for us to stay. He gave us people to cook and the rest and rest when we needed it. He blessed us with safe travel, and He provided meals for us when we maybe didn't have time to cook. We wanted to be somewhere else doing some other kind of ministry, and that those meals were provided by other people, and he ministered through them to us. When events were canceled, He provided things for us to do. He knew what we needed to be, where we needed to be. And He was there, and we had something He had something for us, planned for us to do. He blessed us with enough vehicles to drive so that many teams could go out to different places. They went to different spots in the areas at different times. And He blessed us with enriching old friendships. I had such a good time getting to know people again and getting to know new friends too. Even at the churches, we got to talk with some people, and they just blessed us with their stories. And He blessed us by leading us to a small church in Virginia for worship, like they've talked about in Darbyville. He showed, when I walked in the church, I thought, oh my goodness, such a small church, and there's not very many people here. But the Sunday school lesson that pastor brought us that morning was so good, and it blessed me so much. And it was such a small community, and it seemed like it was so impoverished, but they were working hard and they were happy, and they were smiling and they were singing and they had revival going on, and it was so encouraging to hear their pastor. So thank you for praying for us as we went on our mission trip, because I know you were a part of that too. We had a great trip, and I hope that all of you will pray about going on our next trip.
I didn't write a book. I do want to share a part that Pastor talked about gifts. Now, there's another verse in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 where it talks about He gave some to be pastors and apostles and prophets. But the point is that He gives everybody a gift. And there's a part of that verse that says to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And, you know, we've all been given a gift. I couldn't do any plumbing, but I could take a weed eater and knock down some weeds. And we could all make and give out cotton candy and snow cones. So we all had an opportunity to share of our gift and to do something for others. And service, to me, was what it was all about. It was all about sharing the love of Christ through the things that we did, and seeing what a difference it makes. You know, not all of them had an opportunity to thank us, but certainly the ones that did, it was a blessing to see a smile on their face and that thank you for coming such a long way for doing an act of service. So we did a lot of different things, from worshiping in different churches, VBS, visitation, working in a food bank, in a clothes closet, in a food kitchen, doing disaster relief, fixing toilets, and trimming a yard. We did all these things, but what I would like to encourage you to do is think about the things that we can serve God in and using our gifts here as we go about our ministry and our communities and places where we work, and seek those opportunities as they come forward and in the future, because it won't be our last mission trip. And part of what came to my mind was how much more could we have done if other people had an opportunity to come? And so I look forward to serving side to side with you guys and sharing like we did in our downtime, and as we work together shoulder to shoulder. I'd like to do that with more of you folks and encourage you. And thank you for praying for us. Thank you for providing for us. You know, we couldn't have had that van if the church hadn't stepped up and helped us out with that. So together, we can do more.
I just want to thank the church for allowing us to go and sharing the gospel with these people. Of course, we just went alongside the people over there and to take the kids and help them. But if you get a chance, I recommend y'all go on the trip.
I also had a great time. I'm ready to go again next year.
I had a good time. Y'all didn't laugh when he said it. But really, one term that kept coming up was revival. We can come and meet here week in and week out, go through a series of services and call it revival. I was revived this week. Not only are you having to deny yourself, not only are you having to learn other people's quirky ways, but you're literally having to yield up yourself for the service of God. And I mean, there's so many things that happen that you try to mentally capture these moments, and you can't. Well, I was putting some pictures together the other night, and every time something would show up, I would think about that moment and what was going on. And like Russell's saying, you know, I keep thinking about a pastor that, if you noticed, on his Sunday school board, there was 20 people present that morning. But they was ready to come to worship. They was excited about being there. And you know, to me, sometimes it gets discouraging when we look out here and we see empty spots. We might even wonder, what's the matter with all these folks? Well, that's not for me to decide. Because when I come, I need to come to worship God. I need to come looking for Him. I learned something from a lot of different folks up there in the little bitty areas. God's all they've got. You realize that? I think sometimes we've got so much junk in our life that we forget where God's at. When you look into a little bitty kid and he walks up with his hands in your pocket and you say, "You want a bag of cotton candy?" And he don't say nothing. And he looks at you. And so you say, "Okay, take it." You know, sometimes we wait too many times for people to come to us instead of us going to them with what we have to offer. And the thing about it is we give him one. 6 trips later, he's body slamming his sister out in the middle of the church. His parents might not like it, but we thought it was a blessing. He'd opened up. But you take that pastor that had that one little church there at McConnell Chapel. As we was working around his house, we were having to walk by the bed that he was laying in because of his heart condition. And I think it was Randy walked in there one day and said, "Is he asleep or is he dead?" I went in there and I said, "Brother Robert, you all right?" And he said, "Yeah, I just got to rest. Y'all just keep on." And in the meantime, his wife was sitting out there in the living room with her new grandbaby, just singing some of the sweetest music you'd ever heard. "You gotta go. I don't know what plans you may have, but you need to put that on the list, folks. Because not only just those little moments where God shows up and he spurs you on and says, 'You're doing this for me, not for them people, but so that I can open up your heart, so that I can come in and build you up.' And not to mention the relationships of the 23 people that went. You think you're too old? You ain't. Greg proved that. And he stayed tickety-boo. You think you're too young? Well, you've seen and heard about Carly. Well, let me tell you about Noah. Y'all seen him, if you catch him fast enough. Well, the whole time we sat down there and worked at that house, he sat right there on the couch. The whole time with that Robert Sloan's wife while she had that baby. And I come in there and I said, "You doing all right?" She says, "Oh, you leave him alone." Said, "If I drop something, he goes over there and gets it and brings it back to me." He was performing the service and we didn't even have a clue. But the main thing that I can see is I feel that it strengthened a core group of folks. And what I'd like to see is even more people be a part of that. You may ask, why would we have to go all that way? It don't matter where we have to go. It's just a matter if God tells us to go, we need to go. And then that's only going to do more here in our area. I thank you for the opportunity to go, and I appreciate all of the prayers. And just like everybody else, I can't wait to go again.
Well, I tried to wait till last, thinking we would run out of time, didn't we, Carly? Carly and I, we did a lot of visiting, and we did a lot of canvassing, and it was a good trip. We had a teaching moment with them running ahead and trying to knock on doors, and then they were running, and I'm like, okay, well, sometimes it takes older people a little while to get to the door, so we have to kind of slow down, we have to wait. And then they were very curious, the lady who wanted us to pray with her about her brother, and so that was a good teaching moment for them, that sometimes when you knock on somebody's door, you might be there for a few minutes, so let's not run ahead. And they were curious about why we were praying for her and why we were doing the things we were doing, so it was good for her. And then the other thing that we did like a blood pressure checks and blood sugar checks, and then Greg did some eye screenings at several different places that we went to, and so that was a good outreach. It was a good chance for us to say, well, do you come to this church, or are you just coming for the screening today, and do you think you'll come back to this church? And we had some that were like, well, yeah, they thought they might. And so that was a good outreach opportunity for them. And, you know, I think people think about, well, was anybody saved? And we don't know that anybody was saved this trip, but it was a good chance for us to serve alongside people who could minister to those. And one of the, and I think he was a deacon in Darbyville, he said that his wife was lost and his daughter was lost, and that he had invited them to church like a lot of times, but they would never come. But they came because we had a bouncy house and snow cones. And so they came and stayed that evening and kind of fellowshiped with everybody. And I don't think they ended up staying for like the message, but maybe it was a start, you know, a seed planting. So I appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity to go.
Anything? No? I think that's it, is it not? Randy and Carmen, they're still away. And then Noah and Emma and Nicole are away. So that about includes. Is there something you'd like to